I think maybe he was lifted up in the levels of purgatory. I can't tell you how many masses I have received.
Tell us how you met Christine Watkins. So you have this kind of like the glitzy Hollywood life, you know, of money and all these things, like this kind of perfect, you know, exactly what our culture wants. You have this conversion. And then next thing you know, you're friends with Christine Watkins. How did you get there?
Oh my goodness. This is another God moment.
Is this another, almost like a separate interview?
No, I can make this really quick. I can make this one quick. So there was a gentleman, Deacon Tom Fox. He had me on his Catholic Vitamins podcast. And then he's only introduced me to one other person. And that was Christine. And the crazy thing is when Christine and I got on the phone, we were talking for like 3 hours. And she says, I don't know, but I think God wants us to do something together. Now, almost a year and a half goes by after that conversation. And we would still be, you know, jumping in on a phone call or saying, hey, how's it going? And then Radio Maria called her up because she used to be a host for them in the past and said, would you like to be a host again? And she said, only if I could do it with Kendra. And then this is where it all started. And that was a God moment. And she is such a beautiful soul. And I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, that radio show. But this was where my heart was going out to the people that were emailing me. Remember, we talked about the peace that surpasses all understanding. And so as we were talking about end times, we were definitely telling people, don't be worried. God's got you. Mary's got you. It's okay. But then I would receive emails in fear and anxiety and worry. Mm-hmm. And I would just push back and say, look, this is the time for you to deepen your relationship with God. Dive into prayer. Learn his voice. Learn his peace. And so that's kind of where we took our different paths. You know, I went on to help others. I created a 40-day video prayer course that helps you day by day walk with God. And then I started getting into mental prayer. And mental prayer is so beautiful with the scriptures. You know, we all have the daily readings. It's the most beautiful thing in the Catholic faith that we can all read the same thing, contemplate, and work on what God is telling us to do that day. That's the purpose of mental prayer, is to have a step or something that God is telling you to do that day. So mental prayer,
Kendra,
is something.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, because unfortunately, a lot of people might hear something like mental prayer and think, oh, is that some New Age thing or kind of like an Eastern religion thing? But that's in fact something that's been around in the church for hundreds of, if not from the very beginning. You know, tell us what that is, and then what were some of your experiences that led you to learn what that is and the way that it affected you in your life?
Okay, so mental prayer, which one can call meditation. I feel bad for the world because I think the New Age movement has hijacked some of those words that we might be afraid to use in the Catholic faith because we don't want to appear New Agey. So to meditate is to know thyself. And there's no better way to know thyself than to look through the Word of God and through the eyes of God. So that's what mental prayer was for me. And I am going to tell you, it was not easy. It was a struggle. And you have to pray every day. You need God to be in your heart. Look, the two greatest commandments. First is keeping the one and only God in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, in your, you know, with loving him with all of your strength. I know I butchered that verse. Sorry about that. But then number two is to love thyself and thy neighbor. And you cannot do that the way God commands without having him in your life. So for me, it was one day on, couple days off, another 2 days, and then I would skip. And guess what? What mental prayer is when you read the readings or you read scripture or even, you know, spiritual books, first ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart and to open your eyes and your ears to what you need to see, what you need to hear. And then you follow your heart, your mind, your body. Like, we're supposed to pray according to the catechism with everything, our soul, our mind, our body. So pay attention as you read through the readings. Does a word pop out at you? Does a verse stick with you, or does the whole theme of the reading kind of jump out at you? And for me, it was pick up your cross daily and follow me. And the word daily just jumped out at me, smacked me in the face, and I didn't know what it meant. I was like, daily, okay, Lord, let me sit with this for a while. So it probably took 15 minutes before he finally said, Kendra, you need to pray daily. I need to be your first fruits. You need to spend the first moments of your day with me so that I can put my peace and my love and my joy in you so that you can be Christ-like in the world and love people where they're at. So at the end of it all, that's what mental prayer is. And I decided to dive in, and it is amazing. So the game changer is when the Lord speaks to you. And he may not even speak to you directly in terms of, you know, the words in the actual script or the Bible, you know, whatever your daily readings. I read mine on my email. It's from usccb.org, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops.org. So it's online for me. But guess what? One day I was praying. Nothing about my mom was in the scriptures, but God put on my heart, call your mom. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to call my mom. She's going to keep me on the phone for 45 minutes. I'm never going to get off. And then I went to Mass and I received Jesus in the Eucharist. I go back to my pew and he puts on my heart, call your mom. I'm thinking, why is this coming into my head? And then at the end of Mass, yet again, I'm in the narthex and he says, call your mom. He doesn't say it in a word. It's on my heart. It's a thought in my head. And so I did. And I said, Mom, God is telling me to call you. And she's like, well, that's very nice of him. And guess what? She talked me off of the ledge. It was a 5-minute conversation, not 45. And this is how God can come into your life almost unexpectedly when you're humble enough to give him your time in the morning.
What was the ledge that you were on that she talked to you off?
Oh, so this is the hard part. When I left my career, being the breadwinner, my husband said, yes, we'll take it day by day. So I was being haunted, really. It was evil spirits telling me, don't do this Catholic thing. Your husband wants you to go make money. He's really mad that you're not making money at this Catholic thing. And guess what? This Catholic thing, you know, my ministry. He really hasn't had me make money at this because of my idolatry of the almighty dollar. So I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this for him. Even more so now that we'll get into other things with some of the people that have passed in my life and how important it is to pray differently. So in the beginning of my journey, it was all about me, my prayer life with God, my understanding and discernment of his voice, and how do I fight the spiritual battle? So I got into deliverance prayers and Father Ripperger and all of this on how Satan and his demons do not want us to pray, do not want us to walk in the Spirit of God.
You need to say that again. Satan does not want us to walk in the Spirit of God. He's like, no, I don't.
Right, exactly. Off.
I don't know if you watched this one video that I had where I was editing this one video on, I think it was my wife's iPad, and it just kept having issues. I think partly was it's a slightly older iPad, and we were getting so frustrated, and I thought, I know this is going to be a great video. And then she just had the idea of putting like a ring of blessed salt around it. And we prayed some prayers of deliverance on the iPad. So even objects need prayer sometimes. And it really started working. Everything just kind of worked fine. And then I made a video about what we did, you know? So it was, sometimes the devil gets into the technology and, you know, and he doesn't want us to get the message out.
Right. And I say, Our Lady of Technology, pray for us. I'm not sure if there is one, but she's out there. I know she's
one now.
Right. Exactly. Oh my goodness. How about that? Just when I said that, I go,
yeah,
don't worry, Satan. We're going to make it through. You are not going to win. Jesus will take over. Amazing.
Continue where you were just before I cut out.
Gosh, I think I was talking about, okay, so Satan doesn't want you to get closer to God. And so that was my passion, to help you deepen your relationship with God and the beautiful Catholic faith, because it's the sacramental graces and the sanctifying grace of the church and the beautiful sacraments that keep us on the journey. So I just want to shout out and say, run to confession. That's kind of how I was in the very beginning of my journey. I was learning the teachings and I struggled with every single one of them. Every single one. I did not believe, I did not want to change my life. So it was a very hard journey. But confession was my life saver, literally, figuratively, however, spiritually. It was my soul saver. If it wasn't for confession, I don't think I would have made it, right? God's grace, God's forgiveness. So as I run through a couple of years of fighting with the teachings, finally having God have me have the eyes to see that why he wants us to live according to his commandments is for our own good. That no, it's not boring to be a Jesus lover. It's wonderful. And if your day, someone asks you, oh, how's your day going? And you say, same old, then you are not living life with God. Every day is an adventure with him. And so, okay, so now I'm walking on my journey. And there was a couple of things that had happened. And I'll be honest with you, I have not had much death in my direct family. I've had extended family, aunts, uncles, you know, grandma, grandparents kind of things, but no one really in my direct family. Thank you, God, up until this point, I'm 53. And at the age of 50, my mom, oddly enough, listen how similar our life is. My mom was in Florida. She was going to be moving to her forever place with her boyfriend, John. And they're moving just three blocks away from one house to another one, but that one had a pool. And as she was moving, John dropped on the driveway, had some sort of a massive heart attack, and died before they ever moved into their new place. And when she called the next day, he was in the hospital. He was hooked up. So he was still being kept alive with his body. And I was so grateful because I told my mom, you have got to get a priest there. It has to be a Catholic priest because, of course, the hospital said, well, we have chaplains. And I'm like, no, it must be a Catholic priest. I said, Mom, I will call all of the local, you know, churches if I have to. And she says, well, let me see what I can do. Mm-hmm. I said, you need to have him come in and give him the last rites, the apostolic pardon. And then you pray and everybody pray, you know, the Divine Mercy Chaplet and all these things. She got the priest in there before they turned off the machines. And she was so relieved. By the way, based on my journey, my mom came back to the church. And I think she went to confession and it was like 40 or 50 years for her since she went back.
Wow.
So it's amazing. It's so wonderful.
So she came back back into the faith after he passed away. So was this your stepdad or it was just her, someone she was dating at the time?
Yeah. So she's been with him for she was with him for 40 years. They never got married. She actually went to confession before he passed. And it was funny because she was talking with the priest and saying that I'm living in sin. We're not married in the church. And she made that decision at that point that there would be no intimacy. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm sharing my mom's. I hope she doesn't see this, but I think that's really, really good for her because I actually, when he died, I said, Mom, you might want to go to confession, you know, just to confess being intimate with him. And she's like, what makes you think I was? And I'm like, oh, well, she put me in my place, you know? And so she obviously listened to the priest and, you know, followed his guidance and his counsel, which was fabulous, fabulous.
And if you think about kind of how things happened and when he died, maybe that might've been the only window, I don't know how long of a window that was, where they weren't in sin, so that his soul was able to be saved. Otherwise, he might have been condemned. They would have been in mortal sin for all those years. So it's amazing God's mercy that something touched her heart. She went to confession. They stopped. And then in that period was when he died. And on top of that, that he was able to receive a priest before he died.
Amen. Okay, so guess what? Now I'm like, okay, well, awesome. John's in heaven. I feel good. My mom feels good. But is he in heaven? I don't know. I think, right? I mean, deathbed, isn't thinking, can't sin. So I don't pray for him.